We should have an override button on everything, just in case. Everybody here? Everybody focused? So Ole is getting his face fixed.
He's getting a new face.
I can't wait.
Like Kenneth Copeland wants to be able to recognize.
Going to the witness protection program. Well, I guess we need to pray for him today. When is the exact time of the surgery? Do we know?
He's going down to have cartilage taken out of his ears. And they take him across the street and start the surgery on the nose. And he should be back later this afternoon, I think.
Really?
Is that right? Or is he staying?
He didn't stay?
I think that was, they might keep him tonight.
Yeah, the one with the most information is John. John's coming back and picking me at 9:30.
Really? Mm-hmm. It's like...
I'm trying to figure out what the noise is.
It's a construction.
You can't override that.
You can't override that now.
They're working on our fake rock out there. Look at 2 Samuel. We're going to read some stuff about King David, because on Pentecost, tradition has it that King David died. You remember that tradition? David died on Pentecost. Well, there's this whole passage of King David's last words just before he died. It's in 2 Samuel, but I want to start in 2 Samuel chapter 22. It's like at the end of 2 Samuel, they started putting in like extra resources. You know, they had like, okay, we need to put in David's last words, so they stuck that in. And they also put in one of David's psalms, incorporating it right into this book. And it's basically Psalm 18, but it starts in chapter 22. It's just basically repeated as a song of deliverance by David. But I want to read that, and we'll talk, you know, we'll see if it relates to Pentecost. Is everybody there? David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell, or the grave, compassed me about. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." And that's a good thing to know, that in our distress, there's somebody to hear. And just that alone is one of those "it would suffice me" kind of deals. And I was reading this last night, and I got a call from Michael Carlson. I hadn't talked to him for a while. And he's been this river guide now for a while. And he was telling me about this experience he had when they flipped one of these rafts full of tourists, or, you know, people, because the water's so high and it's so crazy. You know, this is like, they're all excited because the snows are coming off of the Colorado mountains and everything. And but they flipped one of these rafts and everybody went into the rapids, and they had to call, you know, boats had to come out, and the actual ranger people had to come and rescue everybody. You know, and Michael got rescued you know, but he said the boat nearly ran over him while they were trying to rescue him. He said he was very scared. And he said he was so scared that later he went up to one of his senior guide people and said, look, I'm scared to death. I don't know if I can even go back out there on the water. And it was a girl, you know. She said, well, we're all scared. It's like, you know, but the gist of it was that as a guide, he had to, like, be more concerned about these people than about him. And it started to sink in. And it was a really good conversation with Michael. It was like he's been – one thing he told me was he said that he's found out that repentance is the answer to everything. He says he found out, I'm depressed. There's no way out of that unless I just repent. And then, you know, and so – you know, we the more we talked, it was great. And I, there was a passage in this that I just happened to tell him because it was perfect for his situation because he'd been under the water. He said it was very cold water,
yeah.
Even with his little wetsuit, you know. And
last week, I found out a couple of years ago that I've developed claustrophobia, which I didn't have it before. I also developed a fear of heights, which I never had before. I mean, I definitely, truly intended to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
That was an achievable thing. And last Wednesday, I had to get into this closed MRI.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, I mean, I was tossing and turning for 2 nights
before. Yeah.
That was fun.
Good. It turned out to be 4 hours.
Yeah, I remember.
And this reminded me. The first 2 hours weren't too bad because they put me on
happy pill.
Valium, yeah. So that wasn't too bad. But in about 2 hours, it started wearing off. And as it started wearing off, I started praying. And I just prayed my ass off for about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And this... it's the same thing. This is true. This is...
yeah, this...
it reaches right in.
Yeah, this kind of stuff, you know, the fact that it's even in the Bible, you know, it's like... Because David, this is King David, you know, and basically he's pouring out his worst fears and, you know, worst moments, you know. Because, I mean, this is what he wrote right after he got rescued from, you know...
instead of trying to do something about it or change it or make believe it's not real.
Or yeah.
Any other of the million ways we try to squirm out.
Yeah.
Deals.
Yeah. The waves of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And it's like, you know, you're reading through this and you got to also hear, and this is the most amazing thing, this is also Christ talking, you know. And it's that part of, you know, his humanity that we're part of. You know, and we're feeling this. He's feeling the same things we're feeling in that place. And there's only one way out of it, and it's to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord hears. This is the promise of this. So, verse 7 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and did cry, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. And there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Are you going to say the thing about what the coals are?
Why don't you? I don't remember.
I've had some coffee, so I'm not saying that. It's pestilence. It's plague.
Oh, yeah.
It's destruction to the flesh.
Yeah. This there's several things going on here. One reason this relates to Pentecost, this doesn't actually relate to Pentecost, but it's just right in front of the other one, so I'm making it relate to Pentecost. This is sort of like when they went to Mount Sinai and everything was thundering and the law came down. It's also sort of like the description of what happened at the cross. There was darkness and there was an earthquake. And it was like all of those events are really one event that we experience. You know, it's like in this point where you're crying out to God and He responds, that means your death and everything. What I like is this point here where it says, He bowed the heavens also and came down. You know, it's like one of those, in one of the Psalms of Ascent or Hallel or something, it says the same thing where God stoops to do stuff with our stupid race of people, you know? I mean, it's like he comes out of his super magnificence and becomes a real part of who we are, you know? And in the same way, Christ let go of everything to become part of us, become part of this world, you know, to come into the world as human flesh. And, you know, it says He bent the heavens. It's like everything had to move out of the way and stretch, and so He could like enter into, you know, time and space and do His thing. And it's just a wild metaphor there. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And it's like all these next several passages, He's surrounded by darkness, which I think is kind of weird. You know, there's darkness, there's clouds, there's, you know, everything looks terrible. And yet He's accomplishing His purpose. And in the end, you see that He is victorious and everything else is pretty much wiped out. Like it says in 14, the Lord thundered from heaven and the Most High uttered His voice. And He sent out arrows and scattered them. Lightning, and He routed them, meaning the enemies. And the channels of the sea appeared, even down to the foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuking of the Lord and at the blast of the breath of His nostrils. And this is, you know, whenever God saved David from whatever problem he was in here, I don't think anybody saw this happening. What this was David saw that in that moment of God's salvation, he saw all of salvation. You know, he was like, looked through the whole history and saw the cross, and he saw, you know, everything that related to that. And he understood that he was experiencing it with all of the saints everywhere and throughout time and, you know, into eternity. And that's what he's expressing here, because it's so cool. Because none, you know, he's like, nobody else was seeing all the smoke and the fire and the exploding, you know, lightning bolts. But he was. And we must. You know, if we don't see it, then what's all this about? We have to, like, when we experience things, this is how you really experience them. He sent from above, and He took me, and He drew me out of many waters. That's the thing I read to Michael. You know. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them who hated me, for they were too strong for me. My strong enemy is me. You know? And it's too strong for me to deal with.
What? Your strong enemy is me?
Me.
Me.
My strong enemy is me.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Me. I thought you said the drink me.
All these
Smeagol.
All these things we've learned about so far are destruction to the flesh.
Yeah, yeah. That's what David's seeing here. And this is Christ seeing it at His moment of crisis and darkness and on the cross. So all this is just wild to think about. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, and the Lord was my stay. I don't want to be in a day of calamity. I try to arrange things to where I don't enter into any calamities, or the fewest calamities I can possibly arrange. But it's in the day of calamity that the Lord appears. And so what he's doing here, he's basically saying, you know, he's seeing through that calamity and seeing the hand of God rescuing him even while he looks around and it's all darkness. So he brought me forth also into a large place. So this is the other side. This is when you come up out of the water. This is when you've left yourself in the Red Sea and you're on, you know, there's a new thing happening. And you find yourself in a large place instead of that MRI box, you know, where we live as humans. Then this new thing is different. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me. Now see, this is why it's Christ, because it wasn't David could say these things. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. The only way you can understand and experience this place, this large place, is to have a new identity. You have to be in that place of Christ, because that's the only person who could say this. But we can say this if you leave yourself behind. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Okay, that's... nobody can say that, but Jesus Christ was able to fulfill that and completed the way for us. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the perverse thou shalt show thyself perverse or froward. With everybody, unless there's this going through the baptism, so this also relates to Pentecost, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a baptism. And so all this, Lord's rescuing me out of the waters, that's coming up out of the baptism. And if you don't see it like that, then you miss the experience of what it's all about. You know, it's just a thing to do. But David was seeing it this way. And Jesus was seeing it this way. You know, he descended into hell, and the resurrection was coming up out of the waters for him. The afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are against the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. And this always gets me, because I don't want to be among the people that are afflicted. I want to be among the haughty, the people who are like, you know, up here someplace with some kind of control, with some kind of status, you know, in the world. And so all of my actions and stuff in life are designed to keep me in that spot and get me away from being afflicted. And yet it's the afflicted that God deals with. The haughty, all he's doing to the haughty is bringing them down. And so the more I try to be in that place, to scramble up out of, you know, to some place of the high, I'm going to get on the high ground so I can have a little control. All God's only doing is bringing me off that place. And until I get into a place of affliction, I can't even hear who he is. And that's true with all of us. You know, the only time we've heard God is when we're in a place where we're at the end of our rope somehow. You know, so don't despise the affliction, because that's where, you know, that's where God lives. Where were we? For thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is tried. It's, in other words, it's tried and proven to be true. It's gone through a testing process. He is a shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except my God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. This is a bold statement. You know, you can't say that. You know, David can't say that unless he sees the connection. He sees the Messiah. We can't say that unless we see this connection. He makes my way perfect. You know, well, is my way perfect? Well, if I'm in God's hands, then my way is perfect. If I'm trying to figure things out, then I've extracted myself out of this and I've gone back into the try and make it in the water again or something. You know, I don't want to do that. So by letting go of yourself, your way is perfect. It's, you know, that's all there is. Just like, you know, Michael was saying, repentance is the only truth. Repent, and then all the other stuff follows. So Pentecost, baptism, you know, all these things, the thundering and lightning and destruction, coming up out of the water is your letting go of yourself and becoming this part of this new nation, a new people of Israel. You know, when they before they went into the water, it's, you know, the scriptures say they were, you know, they were just tribes, you know. When they came out of the water, they were a new nation of people, a whole people of Israel. And that's what we are when we come out of the baptism. So anyway, we'll talk about this again next time. Tomorrow, so soon?
You just gave me a really nice treat.
How's that?
Well, in 1977, or 1978, one of the two, but I think it was 77, which would make it 30 years ago. You know over on the lawn where Jay Alfred's was?
Yeah.
Jay Alfred's.
Mm-hmm.
At the corner of Herschel and Oak Lawn, I don't know if it's still there or not, but there was a 7-Eleven. And the Brimstone offices were three doors down.
Yeah.
And we were going on a sales pitch one day, Charlie Grimm and I, in our Suburban, so we jumped in, he's driving. And we pulled up at the 7-Eleven so I could get a Coke or something like that. And it was a beautiful summer day. Clear blue sky, not a cloud in the sky, beautiful. And I walked in and I got whatever it was I got, and I turn around and I'm coming out the door of the 7-Eleven, and I look, and in the sky over Highland Park was what you just described, a boiling sea of black clouds and green
coming.
Clouds and lightning bolts and thunderings. I later found out nobody else saw it. But it struck complete terror. I mean, my bones turned into water. My knees were hitting each other.
You think you were having like a flash of revelation or something?
I thought it was real.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no reason not to think it was real. I thought it was a giant tornado about to land on my ass.
Yeah.
And I froze, and then I turned and I ran into the got in and said, get out of here, drive as fast as you can. And Charlie said, what? Well, that night we had Bible study, and I'm sorry, and I told Lily about it, and he just laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard, and I was just ready to kill him. And he was making fun of me for the most scared I'd ever been in my life. And he said, you're looking for Jesus. He's in the cloud. Embrace the cloud.
That wacky Oli.
I could kill him. But I'll tell you what.
But this made you remember that incident?
Well, it's now 30 years later.
Yeah.
And that's what I would say to anybody else now. I know it's true.
Yeah.
He's in the cloud.
Yeah. Amen.
I forgot about that. But it made me laugh that 30 years ago, Oli just would laugh and say, that's Jesus, embrace him.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, then, go about your appointed tasks.
You used to say disperse, there's nothing there.
Disperse to your homes, but I don't want you to go to your homes because you're going to your little appointed tasks.